Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's welcome aboard right now Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL analyst, reporter, does a great job, friend of the program. Hey, Ryan, Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish, Taz is off here on this Thursday morning, so no Benny Snell conversation, but how you doing, buddy?
After Benny Snell's big game, too.
I know, that's exactly right.
He's celebrating.
Exactly right. Ryan, a lot to get into. You know, Andrew and I kicked off this hour. You know, after the commissioner's address yesterday, number one, let's start here. How big of an issue do you think it is for the NFL? He's kind of downplaying it, but the officiating, the amount of flags, the lack of consistency we're seeing here through the first 6 weeks.
It seems to be a huge issue. It's a huge issue for fans, for media, for coaches, for players. But here's what I've been saying. I don't think the NFL cares. And the reason I don't think they care, in part, it was because of what we heard from Roger Goodell yesterday, but the only time I've seen them really nervous and really try to respond to sort of some public outcry was when we had the issue with Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and some people were sending tweets, and that seemed to get the owner's attention, that seemed to get Roger Goodell's attention. Memos were out, plans were made about staying in the locker room. We have seen none of that. There's no urgency to fixing this. Goodell said that Al Riveron, the head of officials, is doing a good job, and everyone knows that, including now, that that's not true. So, that's where we are. I don't think they care. I think people are watching, and yes, they're angry, but guess what? They're still watching.
So we were discussing that too, Ryan. Both Moose and I thought that maybe, you know, Goodell says one thing, but then goes back to headquarters, and they have real conversations about fixing things. But you think that they don't care. And what he said out loud yesterday is basically company policy right now.
I think they want to get it right, but there's no urgency as there was with the national anthem issue a few years ago. I think obviously you don't want guys affecting the outcome of games, and that's exactly what happened in that Packers-Lions game. There's no two ways about it. I know people are like, well, the Lions didn't play well in the second half. Well, sure, that's fine. They still should have won, and it shouldn't have been because of the officials making terrible calls. I think they want to fix it. I just don't think there's that urgency there that we've seen with other sort of bigger issues for them.
You know, Ryan, how about the 17-game schedule here? He touched upon that as well. There have been reports about, eliminating a preseason game expansion of playoffs from 12 to 14 teams. How about all that here moving forward? We know the NFL owners want more regular season games and maybe now adding a neutral site game for every team in the National Football League. But how doable is this? I mean, do you think the players would be open to the idea? Obviously, they want something for it, but how doable do you think this is?
No, they're not open to the idea. If recent memory is any guy, Eric Winston, I think he's the head of the NFLPA for the players, the president, I'm not sure of his title, but former player, spokesperson for the players in terms of these NFLPA issues, he's been on record for a couple years now saying that this doesn't make any sense, and I think a lot of people agree. And if Goodell and NFL are serious about reducing head injuries, the solution isn't to add another football game. And you can say, well, we're just replacing one with the other. Everyone knows that the only people playing in Week 4 are guys working for that 52, 53-man roster spot. And, look, I understand the logistics of it and the economics of it. The owners want to make more money. That's been clear from the start. But the consequence is that you're going to have guys getting injured more often, not only head injuries, but ACL injuries and the like. So, yeah, I know that we're headed down this road, but the players, I don't think, are going to be happy about it, no matter how much you compensate them.
Well, and one thing I want to follow up there with, Ryan, is this. Aren't they concerned about quality of play here? I mean, listen, they're forcing this Thursday night game. And overall, I know we've had some have been good games, entertaining games. Overall, it's not been a good product, right? Mm. And NFL players don't like it. They don't like coming back short work week, home team at clearly advantages compared to the road team. But they don't like playing a game that quickly and that kind of a turnaround. I get the NFL owners want more and more revenue streams. I understand that, but you also got to be concerned about the quality of the game because you want to consistently be churning out those younger fans and making sure that they're lifelong NFL fans. They're not turned off by the game at a young age.
And that's basically what Mark Cuban said a few years ago. And I think his point is that the NFL doesn't care. They're short-sighted in this, the owners in particular are short-sighted, in that they want to make their money now, and then they'll deal with anything that changes down the road. I mean, this is such a cash cow that I imagine most owners can't envision a situation where people are going to quit watching football. But you're exactly right, and the players have made that known for quite some time. I think you could say it's fallen on deaf ears. We had the conversation, 2011 was the last CBA, where they were really pushing that 18-game schedule. Then it went away for about 2.5 years, and now it's slowly creeped back into the conversation now that the new CBA is coming up. And I feel like it's a runaway train. I don't know how they're going to keep the 17-game schedule from happening, just based on history of how much power Roger Goodell kept, how much the owners made out over the players in the 2011 CBA, and it's unfair in terms of billionaires trying to battle with guys who make millions and then sometimes less than that. But that's the situation, and I feel like that's what the players are going to have to deal with, whether they like it or not. And clearly, I think you're right, Moose, they don't like it.
And Ryan, I'm trying to remember now, is this one of the things that at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, the NFL can just do it without the players signing off on it?
That I'm not sure about, because it's a collectively bargain, so I'm not sure how that fits in that.
Because there are some things, right, that they eventually, the league can just say, we're doing it, deal with it?
The interesting thing for me, Andrew, is that didn't happen in 2011.
Right.
That got pretty contentious, and they did not push that through. I can't imagine that would have been the one thing they held back on. But that's a good point, something that clearly worth knowing, especially if you're the Players Association.
Well, let me ask you this then. Are there still people talking about that, which came up, I don't know, weeks or months ago, about like having almost rolling buys for players where guys have to be inactive for a certain number of games? Is that part of this conversation still too?
I think they're working through all that. I'm just laughing because the logistics and the hoops they have to jump through to make all this work, when no one except for 33
right,
people.
Right, it's crazy.
It's nuts. And I think the fans in general don't want it, but again, it's an audience of 31. There's no Packers owner, 31 plus Roger Goodell who has to do the bidding. So, yeah, we'll see. I suspect it'll get crazier before it starts making more sense, if it ever makes any sense.
We're talking to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL analyst reporter. One thing that I do love now, Ryan, which is I think is great for the league, is the fact that you're getting trades happening in the league. And, you know, for a long time, it was a case of nobody makes trades in the National Football League. I mean, the NFL trade deadline would come and go, and it'd be basically like, you know, it'd be a ghost town. There'd be no movement. And now, all of a sudden, it's picked up steam here. You know, it's picked up steam in the offseason. You know, you got a couple big trades this week as Peters goes from Los Angeles to the Baltimore Ravens. Then the Rams make the big move and get Jalen Ramsey from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I do think that's a good thing. I'm not telling you that everything that goes along with those trades is good, and Ramsey with the back injury and forces his way out of Jacksonville. But I do think the idea of trades happening between teams in the NFL, I do think that's a good thing for the league.
I'm with you 100%. I absolutely love it. It sort of started with the Marcus Peters trade a few days ago. I love that move for the Ravens. That defense is not what it has been. In fact, that team goes through Lamar Jackson, the offense, which is sort of a weird thing to say about the Ravens. Here's my question about the Rams. I understand what they're doing, but is Jalen Ramsey worth two first-round picks more than what Marcus Peters is bringing you on a play-by-play basis? Marcus Peters is actually having a pretty good year this year. He had an interception against the 49ers, a good play last Sunday. I know it can be a headache. But you just talked about the mysterious back injuries that only plague Jalen Ramsey on Mondays and Tuesdays the last few weeks. So it's not like he's a model citizen. That said, is Jalen Ramsey one of the best cornerbacks in the league? Absolutely. Does he deserve a new contract? Without doubt. But I don't know if it's worth two first-rounders. The Rams, when this is all said and done, will not have had a first-rounder between 2017 and 2021. Now, it has worked for them, but going back to last January, this has not been a good football team. So I understand what they're doing. I don't know if it's magically going to fix everything, even if Ramsey is worth the contract. I don't know if he's necessarily worth those draft picks.
And what about that contract? Do you think they know what it'll take to get done, or are they really kind of starting from scratch on an extension talk with him?
Well, I think you go to the top of the page of the highest paid cornerbacks, and then you go slightly above that. I think Xavier Howard's currently the highest paid cornerback, and that's the starting point. There's no way, sort of like the Zeke Elliott conversation, there's no way Jalen Ramsey's going to settle for being number two. And the other issue, which Deion Sanders made, and I give him credit for this, is that Jalen Ramsey's not going to love paying taxes in California when there's no state sales tax. Or there's no tax in Florida. So that's something else he may want to consider into his contract and that the Rams may have to deal with as well. But again, he's a fantastic player. But I do want to see how he impacts that defense, because The simple solution is just don't throw to him. I mean, they had four cornerbacks after trading Marcus Peters and after putting Aqib Talib on the IR and before the trade. Two of those cornerbacks hadn't played a snap this season, so it's not like they magically fixed their secondary by trading for one player.
You know, Ryan, how about from a Jaguar perspective? They get rid of the headache, now obviously it's difficult to replace a talent of Jalen Ramsey, but what about from a Jags perspective? Did you like what they did here?
Yeah, no, I think they made out. It was clear that Ramsey and the ownership didn't get along with coaches, Tom Coughlin, everyone up to – I don't think this is all Ramsey's fault, by the way. I just think the two sides weren't meant to be together. So, they're going their separate ways. I think that for the Jaguars, they get the two first-round picks, another fourth-round pick out of it. That's a fantastic haul. I mean, think about this. A month and a half ago, the Steelers gave up a first-rounder for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who was a top-five-level defensive back. And people were like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. The Jaguars doubled down on that in terms of their draft haul. So I love it. I think you can find a cornerback that clearly isn't as good as Jalen Ramsey, but a very good cornerback in the draft or free agency, and you can go from there. I don't think they're doing anything this year, but I was never on the Jaguars bandwagon heading into 2019.
What about the rest of that division? Is it just Houston and Indianapolis, and who do you like the most in the South right now, Ryan?
Well, Andrew, the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans is Ryan Tannehill, so I'm going to go ahead and mark them off the list.
Yeah.
And the backup is now Marcus Mariota, which is a sad state of affairs for him. So, yeah, here's the great thing about the Texans, and the whole conversation since this summer has been, can they protect Deshaun Watson? He was sacked 62 times last year. Last two games, he has not been sacked. That has never happened in his career in the NFL. The Colts were banged up defensively, but they had a week off. Huge win over Kansas City 2 weeks ago. So, right, these are the two teams. I love Jacoby Brissett. He has never been the issue. Chris Ballard, the GM, was never worried about that after Andrew Luck retired, so I think that's a huge get for them. But, right, it's down to those two teams, I feel like, in the South.
You know, Ryan, I'm curious with Mariota and with Jameis Winston. You mentioned in terms of the Titans turning the page on Marcus and giving the starting job to Tannehill, and Mariota was not good. It was awful last week in Denver. Winston is back to his turnover machine ways, even with Arians as the head coach down there in Tampa Bay. You know, do you think, obviously Tennessee's going to go in another direction. What about Tampa Bay down there? You know, do you look at those two quarterbacks as having a hard time, kind of recalibrating themselves as starters in the NFL?
I think it's over for both. Look, if Bruce Arians cannot fix you, there is no fixing you. You are destined to the life of a backup quarterback at some point. And the thing, someone made this point, this is a good point. Jameis and Marcus were both drafted in 2015. It is atypical for a quarterback of Jameis' interception prowess to continue to be on the field 4 or 5 years into his career because those guys typically get benched. So it's weird to see him, a guy in his fifth year, throwing 5 interceptions in the middle of the season because he should have been benched a long time ago, and they just didn't have the backups around him to do that. And I think, look, Bruce Arians can say all he wants about how Jameis is this guy and it's going to work out. It's not going to work out. They're drafting the quarterback and they're going to find one in free agency. I feel like more than Jameis, Marcus Mariota has never looked this bad. So is he injured? And that was one of the things that plagued him early in his career. Is something else going on? Because it seems like either he has no confidence, he's injured, or some combination of both. Will they continue to play in the NFL? Of course. Ryan Tannehill is still in the NFL, and he's a starting quarterback now. But I don't think there's a situation where they get right and then suddenly become NFL starting. I will say this, though, and someone made this point the other day. I was asked this question, I would actually trade Marcus Mariota for Jared Goff to see Marcus Mariota play with Sean McVay. I think that may work. But typically speaking, I think those guys are destined to be backups.
Can you see the Panthers? Well, I guess, can you see somebody wanting to trade for Cam Newton?
Yeah, so he has to be healthy. I think if Cam Newton's 100% healthy, and we don't know when that's going to be, I think you start him over Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen's been fantastic, of course. But there's a shoulder issue with Cam. There's a foot issue with Cam. He can't be out there limping around, short hopping passes. He has to be 100% healthy, and who knows when that's going to be. And if they love Kyle Allen, yeah, absolutely trade Cam Newton. But I would be hesitant to do that if I were the Panthers.
You know, Ryan, I want to ask you about the Chiefs here. I wasn't the only one, but I was on their train. This is going to be the year for Andy Reid, redemption tour after the tough loss last year in the championship game. I'm really concerned about that Kansas City team. Put the injuries aside. Well, the injuries have played a role. They're, getting beat at the offensive line. Spagnuolo's defense not exactly been better, as compared to where they were a year ago. They can't run the football. I'm a little concerned about where this Chief team is. They haven't played really good football for quite some time here.
No, and we're not even talking about the no-look passes anymore. We're talking about, okay, Patrick Mahomes is hobbled in the backfield. He's not moving like he usually does. That's affecting everything else. Eric Fisher, the left tackle, is out. Chris Jones, defensive end, is out. Frank Clark hasn't worked out in terms of being a pass rusher. Sammy Watkins had a huge week one and then disappeared because of injury. So, I mean, you're exactly right. It is piled up on them. They've lost two in a row, both at home to the Colts and to the Texans.
And they should have lost to the Lions.
And they should have lost to the Lions, absolutely. So, I mean, you know who loves this? The Patriots. They're just sitting there licking their chops, whipping up on the AFC East, and the rest in the AFC are sort of duking it out. I don't know how you fix it quickly because everyone has to get healthy, and if Patrick Mahomes isn't healthy, that's a non-starter. So I don't know what voodoo Andy Reid's going to have to do, but he needs to start doing it.
Final one for you. How much pressure right now is on Garrett down there in Dallas? Loses with three straight. I mean, you want to talk? I mean, Jerry Jones saying Garrett's not the only issue. No, they've got other issues, and I get they were missing their two tackles. You cannot go on the road after losing two straight. I know Darnold back at quarterback and give you that kind of performance at MetLife Stadium in front of basically about 40,000 Cowboy fans. I mean, every time when Elliott went into the touchdown in the fourth quarter, I mean, that place rocked like it was AT&T Stadium. How? What about Garrett and now losers of 3-0 or 3 in a row after that 3-0 start?
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier either because they play the Eagles and they have a week off. Look, if they get smoked by the Eagles, that week off is going to be a long week for Jason Garrett. Then they come back and play again at MetLife Stadium to face the Giants. So, look, if they go 0-2 in these next two games, it is going to be extremely difficult for Garrett to keep his job. I know Jerry Jones has said he's not going anywhere and all that, but we know that Jerry Jones also loves really shiny objects. But there's nothing to worry about because Michael Irvin has a great suggestion. He says, listen, just sign Antonio Brown. It'll fix everything. I would actually love to see them sign Antonio Brown for that reason.
You think he's got any shot at getting back in the league this year?
Moose, owners and coaches are so short-sighted when it comes to fixing things with fantastic talents, no matter how all the off-field stuff works out. Now, I don't imagine he's coming back to the Patriots because it sounds like Bob Kraft said absolutely not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to bring him back given how depleted their wide receiver core is. But no, I would not be surprised if he comes back.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL analyst, reporter, does a fantastic job. Hey, Ryan, we appreciate the time this morning. As always, great job.
Thank you, guys.
You got it.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.